Ime bechuko sai telechu, vias mitzvot sai tishmeru vasisem osam. Venasati gishmechem beitam, venasina haaretz yevulah, veitz hasodei ten pirio, vihisiglachem daish espotzir, uvatzir yasiges zora, vaachaltem lachmechem losova, vishavtem lavetach beartzechem. If you will follow my decrees and observe my commandments and perform them, then I will provide your rain in their time, and the land will give its produce, and the tree of the field will give its fruit. Your threshing will last until the vintage, and the vintage will last until the sowing. You will eat your bread in satiety, and you will dwell securely in your land. OU Israel presents
Come In. Welcome.
Shalom and welcome to another issue of Torah Tidbits Audio. I'm your host, Phil Chernofsky, and this show is for Parshat Bechukotai and Lag BaOmer, which is today, recording and first broadcast, Yom Chamishi, Thursday, the 18th day of Iyar, which is Lag BaOmer, corresponding to the 26th of May. Tehillim Kuf Kof Aleph, Psalm 121. Shir Lama Alot, Esa Einai El Heharim, Me'ayin Yavo Ezri. Ezri Me'im Adonai, Ose Shamayim Va'aretz. Al Yitain Lamot Raglecha, Al Yanum Shomerecha. Hine Lo Yanum Velo Yishan Shomer Yisrael. Adonai Shomerecha, Adonai Tzilecha, Al Yad Yeminecha. Yomam Hashemesh lo yakeka v'yoreach balayla. Adonai yishmorcha mikol ra yishmor et nafshecha. Adonai yishmor tzeitecha uvoecha me'ata v'yad olam. Achinu kol beit Yisrael hanatunim batzara uvashivya ha'omedim ebein bayam uvein bayabasha ha'makom yirachem aleihem v'yotziyem mitzara lirvacha u'me'afela l'ora u'mishibud l'geula. Hashta ba'agala uvizman kariv v'nomar amen. Okay, obviously, with the opening of the show with a musical piece, which is just a nigun I got from an album, indicates that today is Lag BaOmer, and the mournful restrictions of the Omer don't apply. It's not that simple. And especially since people listen to the show not just on the Thursday that it's recorded, but on Friday, and hopefully not on Shabbat, but on Sunday and Monday and Tuesday, whatever. And that's okay also, because there is one of the two major opinions is as to the mournful period of the Omer, is that after Lag BaOmer, there are no restrictions. Marriages can take place, hair cutting and shaving, and the mournful period is done with the 33rd day. Others follow the opinion that the mournful period begins at Rosh Chodesh Iyar and continues until the days before Shavuot, with a hiatus on Lag BaOmer. And it seems that the Edot Mizrach, the Sephardi communities, carry the mournful period through Lag BaOmer, and after that have nothing, no restrictions. So, go figure. In fact, let's talk a little bit more about that. Lag BaOmer is an unusual example of something that started out as kind of small, minor, subtle, and in some communities mushroomed into a major, major big deal. Let's examine what I just said. In the time of the Beit HaMikdash, as I've mentioned earlier, the period of the Omer was semi-festive, sort of a little bit like Chol HaMoed, looking not as the first day of Pesach and the last day of Pesach with the 5 days in between as Chol HaMoed, but looking at the holiday of Pesach and the holiday of Shavuot, which is considered an Atzeret to Pesach, even though we're talking a span of 50 days, with the intervening days, namely the days of the counting of the Omer, having a little bit of Chol HaMoed flavor. With the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash, the air was blown out of the Omer. There was no barley offering on the second day of Pesach. There is no Shtei HaLechem offering on Shavuot. The counting has a hollowness and a melancholy, and that hollowness was sort of filled by tragic events that were associated with the days between Pesach and Shavuot. Especially since the days from Pesach to Shavuot were supposed to be very positive, a time for personal growth, a time for Torah learning, a time for examining of one's midot, his character traits, and a general improvement to be worthy of reliving Matan Torah, the receiving of the Torah at Sinai. With that in the background, then any tragedy that's associated with this time carried extra weight. It was like minus 10, but not from zero, from plus 5, and the difference is 15, not just 10, if you follow my math. In any event, Lag BaOmer was a bright spot in the period that had become partial mournful. And I say that because the term that's used in halacha works is kitsat avelut, a little bit of mourning. It's a strange kind of term. There are other bright spots. There are the Shabbatot. There are Rosh Chodesh days, 2 days of Rosh Chodesh Iyar, 1 day of Rosh Chodesh Sivan. There's Pesach Sheni. There are the 3 days before Shavuot, which parallel the 3 days of preparation and anticipation for receiving of the Torah. And all of that does not allow the Omer period to sink very, very low. Maybe that's partially why there would be such a term as kitsat avelut, a little bit of mourning. In our time, with the establishment of the State of Israel and its celebration on the 5th day of Iyar thereabouts, and Yom Yerushalayim on the 28th of Iyar, there are new bright spots in this period. So, basically, Lag BaOmer started out being a little bit of an island in the sea of mourning, and as such, it was a break and a rest, and whatever else it meant. But then you have the mystical, Kabbalistic, associated with Hasidic celebration of the Yahrzeit, the anniversary of the death of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, known as Rashbi. And whereas death is usually mourned and a Yahrzeit is usually a cause and a pause of reflection, somber, sober reflection, with the unusual mystical nature of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, where, let's put it like this, at least this is the way I understand it. We are all supposed to believe, and we do believe, that this world is an anteroom to the palace that is the next world. And logic would say, if that's the case, then the transition of a person's soul from this world to the next should be the cause of joy and celebration. But it isn't. It's the cause of grief and mourning. So if we were to have an exemplary individual whose total being and whose teachings are such that we actually can celebrate the transition from this world to the next, or at least get a flavor and a feel for it, then that, to me, is what Lag BaOmer became in certain communities. And it also is a reflection of the contrast between the deaths and the other tragedies that are associated with the Omer period. It's almost like, in addition, it's almost like a harbinger of the next Beit HaMikdash, when the whole period will be restored to one of festive flavor. And I believe that Yom HaAtzma'ot and Yom Yerushalayim fit that bill and provide two further bright spots of a different style from Lag BaOmer. But I have no qualms about shaving in honor of Yom HaAtzma'ut, of listening to music on Yom HaAtzma'ut, on celebrating in what would otherwise be inappropriate for the Omer period, because I believe genuinely that the mournful nature of the Omer is there in the hope that someday soon there will be things to celebrate and the mournful nature will gladly retreat, so to speak, to allow the celebration. And lest you think this is just my fanciful imagination, I often refer to the passage in the Mishnah Brura that says that a father and a godfather, a sandak and a mohel, can shave and take a haircut during the Omer in honor of a brit, a circumcision, because the day is their private Yom Tov. It's their festival. Now, I don't think that would work in the period of mourning for the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash, the 9 days, or even the 3 weeks. And there is a concept which is very strong in that mournful period for the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash, that national mourning trumps personal celebration. But here, it doesn't. And I feel that there is no less a joy that a father of an 8-day-old baby would feel, no less than that as to how we should feel on the anniversary of the establishment of the State of Israel and on the anniversary of the reunification of Jerusalem. On that note, Here is a track from an album. I think it was the same album that the Nigun came from in the beginning of the show. I don't recall its name. This clip is Bar Yochai, which is a traditional Lag BaOmer song, especially in the Sephardi communities, but I know many Ashkenazi communities that also sing it, either on Lag BaOmer or on the Friday night before Lag BaOmer, or this week they might do it day after Lag BaOmer. We shall see. But here it is, Bar Yochai. And then in the second half of the show, we'll get into Parshat Bechukotai.
Bar Yochai, Nimshachta Shrecha, Shemes Ason Lecha Velecha. Bar Yochai, Nimshachta Shrecha, Shemes Ason Lecha Velecha. Bar Yochai, Shemen Mishchat Kodesh, Nimshachta Mimidat HaKodesh, Nasata Titzne Zer HaKodesh, Chavusha Al Rosh Chaverecha. Bar Yochai, Nimshachta Ashrecha, Shemen Sason Mechaverecha. Bar Yochai, Nimshachta Ashrecha, Shemen Sason Mechaverecha. Shabtov yashabta, yom nasta, yom asho barabta. Bimarat, tzurim she'amadita, sham kanita, ochavad areicha. שיטים עומדים לימודי אדוני הם לומדים אור מופלא אורי קודם יוקדים הלא אמא יורוך מוריך אבל יום חיים נמשכת אשריך שמץ האסון מחבריך אבל יום חיים נמשכת אשריך שמץ האסון מחבריך תפוחים עליתה תלכות בורקחים זאת תורה כציצים ופרחים נעשה אדם נאמר ברוריך בר יוחאי נמשכת אשריך שמץ האסון מחבריך בר יוחאי נמשכת אשריך שמץ האסון מחבריך שהלכת נגד צורריך בר יוחאי נמשכת אשריך שמץ האסון מחבריך בר יוחאי נמשכת אשריך שמץ רצון לחבריך
listening to Torah Tidbits Audio for Parshat Bechukotai and Lag BaOmer, which sort of is what we discussed in the first half. I want to focus on the Parsha of Bechukotai in this half, and let me start by reviewing the situation. Remember that we in Israel are one sedra ahead of those in Chutz La'aretz, outside of Israel. We are reading Bechukotai in Chutz La'aretz. This Shabbat they are reading Bahar. We read Bahar last week. The other way of looking at it is not that we are one Shabbat ahead. It's that Chutz La'aretz is one Torah reading behind. Now that's a matter of perspective. If you live in Israel, you say that Chutz La'aretz fell behind when they did not read the weekly Torah portion on their eighth day of Pesach. Instead, they read the reading for the eighth day of Pesach. The Chutz La'aretz perspective is that we did not have an eighth day of Pesach, and therefore we resumed Parshat Shavua, thereby jumping one sedra ahead. As much as I've lived in Israel longer than I lived in the States, which is something I couldn't say a year ago, as much as I believe in the centrality of the land of Israel to the Jewish people and the Jewish religion, the fact of the matter is that the Chutz La'aretz perspective is more accurate, and that is that we jumped ahead a weekly reading because we didn't have an eighth day of Pesach. So you might say, wait a minute, there isn't supposed to be an eighth day of Pesach. That's specifically a diaspora issue because of various historical factors. That's true. We celebrated 7 days of Pesach as the Torah commands. And in Chutz La'aretz, Jews basically add a day to Pesach, That is an accurate perspective. But when it comes to the weekly Torah reading, that was developed in Chutz La'aretz at the time that in Eretz Yisrael there was a different method of Torah reading, broken down into a three-year cycle rather than a one-year cycle. And when Eretz Yisrael, the land of Israel, adopted the finishing the whole Torah once a year, we took the Chutz La'aretz calendar and we needed to modify it. The two reasons for that need are Pesach that runs from Shabbat to Friday here, and then to Shabbat in Chutz La'aretz, and Shavuot, which in some years, not the same, can be Friday here in Israel, and Friday Shabbat in Chutz La'aretz. In those two occasions, we, without an eighth day of Pesach, and or without a second day of Shavuot, and this does not impact on Sukkot at all, but for Pesach and Shavuot, we end up rushing ahead with the weekly Torah reading, and therefore our method of slowing down so that Chutz La'aretz can catch up to us, or that we should get back in sync with Chutz La'aretz, we do it by separating a scheduled combined Torah reading. So if in Chutz La'aretz, on a non-two Adar year, a one Adar year, the Parshiot of Bahar and Bechukotai are combined, then we will separate in order to get back in sync with Parshat HaShavua. In a Shana Mu'uberet, a 13-month year, a two Adar year like this one, Bahar and Bechukotai are scheduled to be separated anyway. And the next available double Parsha in Chutz La'aretz that we can separate in order to get back in sync is Matot Masei. So it's not a matter of our combining, of Chutz La'aretz combining two Sedras. We've got to split a scheduled double. When it comes to Shavuot on Friday, the scheduled double is Chukat Bullock. Combined in Chutz La'aretz, we separate it and everybody is happy. Anyway, that explains why I'm talking Bechukotai on the week of Parshat Bahar in Chutz La'aretz. But there are very strong indicators in the verses that the two Sedras are linked, and in fact, in years when there's only one Adar, Bahar and Bechukotai are partnered. Now let's look at that, but from a different perspective. The Torah, in many different places, expresses what I like to call God's deal with the Jewish people. He says to us in many different ways, tell you what I'm going to do. You keep the Torah, perform mitzvot, be faithful to me, and I will make good things happen to you. If you don't, things are going to get hard. Now, this is said mildly in many places, and there are two major parts of the Torah where it is said with a sledgehammer. One of them is Bechukotai, and one of them is Parshat Ki Tavo. Those portions, what I would call the sledgehammer approach, are called the Tochacha. They are divine words of reproach, which basically start off in good terms. If you keep the mitzvot, then good things will happen. But if you don't, listen up. All of these bad things will happen, and if you still don't listen, those things will get worse. And if you still don't listen, they'll get even worser. A word that kids like to use, even if it's not a word. and the message is clear. It is upsetting to have to hear this, and there are various customs that arose vis-a-vis the Torah reading of this portion of the Tochacha. For example, in most synagogues, the Torah reader will lower his voice and speed up to read through the Tochacha in a more painless manner. There is also the custom of the whole Tochacha, which is quite long, being contained within one single Aliyah. That's why in the breakdown of Aliyot in Baha'alot and Bechukotai, you will find very short Aliyot. For example, first one, I read the whole thing, three psukim, and then you have a big 36 pasuk or more portion for Shlishi, which makes it the longest Shlishi in the whole Torah. And that allows the whole Tochacha to be contained within the third Aliyah, including beginning with good stuff and ending with good stuff. Let me just see if I have it right. We've got Shlishi 37 Psukim, the longest Shlishi in the Torah. Okay, not the longest Aliyah, but the longest Shlishi, third Aliyah. So that's the story, and it really needs that sledgehammer approach sometimes. I don't feel that I want to do it on the rest of the show, so I'm not going to go into the same detail that the Torah does, but just the language, Im Bechukotai Telechu, if you will follow my statutes, and then if you won't, V'im lo tishmu li, if you do not listen to me, V'lo ta'asu at kol ha-mitzvot ha'ela, and you won't do all of these mitzvot, V'im bechukotai tim'asu, and if you will revile my decrees, they will become loathsome to you, V'im et mishpatai tig'al nafshechem, L'vilti asot at kol mitzvotai, Lahafrechem et briti, thereby overturning our covenant, then I'm going to get you back. And it's not pleasant at all. Take a breath. I want to now focus on something that comes towards the end of the Sedra, which means the end of the book of Vayikra as well. The mitzvah I'm referring to is called Ma'aser Behema, which is the tithing of animals. I'll explain it a moment in detail. But first, the pair of psukim, because the Torah, before it gets in to Maaser Behema, refers to the tithing of the produce of the ground. V'chol Maaser Ha'aretz, Mizera Ha'aretz, Mipri Ha'etz, Lashem Hu, Kodesh Lashem. The tithing that comes from the ground, the produce of the ground, is sacred. And if a person desires to redeem it, here we're referring to what's called Maaser Sheni, the first portion of a person's produce is given as a gift to the Kohen, a Kohen of his choice. That's followed, that's about 2%, plus or minus. Then comes 1/10 that is given to a Levi. And then comes a second tenth, which during the first and second, fourth and fifth years of a Shemitah cycle, remains the property of the field owner. But that second 10%, known as Maaser Sheni, is sacred and is to be brought to Yerushalayim to be eaten with his family, B'Kedusha V'Tahara, in a state of ritual purity. If he has too much, then he's allowed to redeem it with money, fair market value. If he does it for himself, he adds a fifth, which is actually a quarter that he adds, and that quarter becomes a fifth of the total amount. And the money becomes sacred and has to be spent in Yerushalayim on food and drink for his family and friends. Or, if it's redeemed by a neighbor, then there is no additional charge, not germane to the topic I want to discuss. And then it mentions the tithing of the animals. Now, because the tithing from the ground and the tithing for the animals are mentioned basically in the same verse next to each other, there are things that are learned one from the other. On the other hand, there are significant differences between them, and without giving you both sides of the coin, I want to explain Maaser Behema. Picture the following. A person living in Israel who owns sheep. The same thing goes for cows and goats, but we'll make it simple, sheep. He's got flocks of sheep in five different areas around the country, and he has shepherds and managers in each of these locations who send him reports. And he has an app on his iPhone where he's able to get all the information from the field as soon as it's sent. The reports include the births of calves, or in our case, lambs or kids. And there are three times of the year, before Pesach, before Shavuot, and before Sukkot, when fresh meat is the culinary choice of festival revelers, celebrators. And it is on those dates, specifically mentioned by the Sefer Achinuch, is the 35th day of the Omer, which is a couple of weeks before Shavuot. That date is this Shabbat, by the way. And on that day, he is to gather his firstborns, his newborns for the year, brings them together in an enclosure, and let's say he has 77 of them. 77 newborns. He has them shipped in, trucked in, puts them in an enclosure, takes a female sheep, stands her outside the enclosure where there is a narrow opening, and she calls to the young. They start coming out through the opening, and he counts them. Literally, 1, 2, 3, 4. He watches as they come out of the enclosure. 5, 6, 7. He does not direct which ones go through the opening. 8, 9. And it doesn't matter the condition of the lamb that's coming through number 10. He proclaims it, number 10, Maaser, a tithe, a tenth of the animal, and he daubs its tail with some bright blue paint so that he doesn't get it mixed up with others, and that animal is sacred. Continues, 11, 12, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70. The 7, even though it's more than half, way to the next number, no tenth from there. There are exactly 7 lambs which he has declared as holy. He then, at some time, not all at the same time, but whenever he wants to, he takes a lamb or two with him to Yerushalayim with his family on a little vacation or at one of the festivals, and he offers the animal in the Beit HaMikdash as a korban called ma'aser. Most of the meat is returned to him, and he has to be in a state of ritual purity, and he and his family enjoy lamb chops and whatever else. That has to be done within the first year of life of the lamb. All of the above is the mitzvah of Maaser Behema, and the surprising fact that I want to focus on, there are two really. One of them is, this mitzvah applies in our time. Wait a minute, how could it possibly apply in our time if we don't have a Beit HaMikdash, and we don't have a Mizbeach, an altar, and we don't bring korbanot, sacrifices? The answer is that the destination of the Maaser Behema to be on the altar as a korban is not an inseparable part of the mitzvah of tithing of the animals. Today, and I'm talking about in the secular year 2016, if in Eretz Yisrael a person owns sheep and he has 77 newborn lambs, today, not the time of the Beit HaMikdash, today, and he gathers them together and fulfills the mitzvah of Maaser Behema, then he's got seven animals that are sacred that must be brought within their first year of life as a korban in the Beit HaMikdash. So while he has performed a mitzvah from the Torah, he has created a situation which is unacceptable, untenable. He now has seven animals that are his, that he is not allowed to derive any benefit from because they're sacred. To do so, take their wool or whatever, would be sacrilege, a very serious offense. And he must take care of the animal, raise it until he is able to bring it as a korban in the Beit HaMikdash, or until they die of natural causes, and he must bury the carcass without any benefit from the animal itself. There is other complication in there too, but I won't get into that now. This means that we got a technical problem here if we do this mitzvah. And sure enough, if you open up the Shulchan Aruch, our code of law, it says, do not do this mitzvah. Whoa. Shulchan Aruch, which is dedicated to teaching Jews to do mitzvot and how to do mitzvot, has to say, and I editorialize with a heavy heart, that we have to tell you, here is a mitzvah that today applies, don't do it. Now, in the case of Maaser Behema, it's very simple to avoid. You just don't do it. It's not like other situations where an animal will become sacred of its own. A firstborn sheep, goat, or cow, calf, is sacred without any act on the part of the owner. And therefore, to get out of that mitzvah, which we're supposed to, is a little bit more difficult. But here, you own sheep. They had 77 newborn lambs this year. Don't bring them together. Don't put them in a pen together. Don't have them come out one at a time. Don't count them, and don't declare the 10th one Kodesh. Simple to avoid. And all 77 lambs are totally, completely owned by this person. And he could do whatever he wants with them. And when he sells them, a person doesn't have to feel as if he is taking less than the ideal because the mitzvah wasn't performed because the Shulchan Aruch came and said, don't do this mitzvah. Briefly, here's the other point. In the time of the Beit HaMikdash, if the owner of the sheep does not do the mitzvah, no harm done. In other words, all the animals are still permitted. It's not like produce of the ground that if you don't take the required amounts off, you can't eat any of it. Nobody could eat from it. It's tevel, not in this case. In this case, no foul, except that you didn't do a mitzvah, which you're supposed to. So when you have a Beit HaMikdash, it's a mitzvah to do. Without a Beit HaMikdash, temporarily, we're told not to perform that mitzvah. On that note, I wish you a happy Lag BaOmer, or as we say here, Lag Sameach. Shabbat Shalom, Lehishtameach.